The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered. Finally, to let people in behind the wall, you could see our guest this day, the whole show, the great Michael Chiesa. So nice to have you back, buddy. But we had to wait. It was so hard not to talk to you waiting. It feels so stupid just looking at the guest, but it's not being recorded, so we don't want to blow it off the air. How you doing?
Doing good, man. This worked out perfect. I'm actually out in Vegas. I worked this weekend. So now I'm in this fancy studio. I mean, for people that know me, I live in the sticks in a stick house. So I've got this fancy studio behind me, and it's good to be talking to you guys.
A stick house? What are you talking
house,
about?
I should say. I
live Don't in a you know house. What happened to the little piggies? Something made out of fucking brick.
The difference is the big bad wolf. He lives in the house. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, nice.
Fuck yeah, he does. I sound like Chip when I said that.
Yeah, I was just thinking that you did indeed sound like Chip.
Switched ultralights, Matt.
Now you're doing a podcast also, aren't you? Or no? Don't you?
Yeah,
me and Paul Felder,
we do UFC Roundup on YouTube. And we do that the Tuesday, we film the Tuesday before the pay-per-view, and then we do a recap after. And if you know, working with Paul, getting to talk to him often, is he's the man, dude.
I love Paul Felder. I still, that goddamn Ia Quinta fight, I still can't get over the fact that didn't happen. I wanted that fight more than any fight on the card.
Yeah, that would have been a good fight.
But I can't. I want it.
Al's fucking killing it, selling houses.
I know,
yeah,
but
he's
just
crushing the game right now.
I just saw him 2 days ago.
Yeah, how's he doing?
He's doing good, man. We were, you know, yelling at Aljo. He was sparring and shit. So down there, me, him, old blue eyes, coming in with a vest that had in it to match his fucking eyes, Ray Longo.
Oh my God.
But yeah, man. So no, we've been having a good time. Raging Al is going over to, he's going to be over there in Abu Dhabi with them.
That's good. I love to see that camaraderie, man. That's like, it reminds me of like how, you know, me and Cecilia, that's like, I'll never go into a fight without Sam. You love to see the guys that came up together, stick together, especially in those big moments.
How is your friend Sam, Cecilia?
Sam is doing good, man. And the guy, you know, he's got a little family now. He's got a son. His son, you get this name, you're going to love this. Salvatore Rocky Cecilia. I mean, that's the full name. Yeah,
no pressure on the kid. I hope he better do some martial arts,
right? But yeah, he's got a family, dude. He's doing good. He's healthy. Yeah, he's doing
now.
Good.
You, are a newlywed, right? When did you get married?
I got married in May. You got married in May.
Yeah, right now, the honeymoon over? How do we feel? Is it good?
We haven't done the honeymoon yet, but we're still kind of in the honeymoon phase. I'm kind of waiting to book my next fight before we do the honeymoon, because it's always nice when you get done with the fight camp, you get done with the fight, and then you take off from the fight to the vacation. So we're kind of waiting to see what happens there.
Instead of dreading the camp while you're away, we're getting a call in the middle of your honeymoon. You're probably smart to do that. Get a fight in and then just go and enjoy.
Kelsey doesn't want to spar me on our honeymoon. So if I have a fight coming up, I'm like, babe, throw the gloves on. We gotta get some rounds in. I'm getting a little stir crazy.
now, Michael, did you meet your wife before or after you got on Tough?
I met her. This is funny. I met Kelsey Joe at the weigh-in dinner before my fight. I was dating her friend. So her friend came to watch me and she tagged along. She's a fight fan. And then as time went on, like she was just became one of my really close friends for like 5 years. And it was like strictly a friendship. And then one day we were both single and I was like, God, you're kind of hot. And you're like one of my best friends. I should just date you. And then boom, next thing you know, 5 years later, we got married. So
now, are you still friends with the ex? Did that wreck their friendship?
No. Doesn't like us. I'm not
right gonna now. Right now, the
better first name.
I'm just watching you behind the decks, UFC, the pre-show, post-show, yeah. And she's eating a fucking bonbons, and she sees you with your wife. She's upset. You ruined that poor girl.
Hearts are breaking all over Spokane, Washington, with me and Kelsey off the market.
I guess so, right? Yeah, it's always hard, but it's a friend, but
right.
Man, that's beautiful, though, man.
Yeah.
And you did a nice tribute, by the way. I wanted to say to Elias Theodoro, that was very nice. Man. You said you were going to do it a certain way, and then you just said, fuck it, and just decided to talk, right?
Yeah, you know, and I don't really do that too much. I like to keep some of that type of stuff contained. But, you know, Matt, you know as well as I do in this business, like, the notoriety is great, the paychecks are good, but for me, I just feel like the relationships and the people I meet along the way are the true gift in all of this. And Elias, just my friendship with him embodied that. It's not like I talked to him every day, but every time I saw him, it was just like kind of inseparable, you know. And in the jacket, man, that was kind of a powerful moment for me. I was literally typing it out on my phone. I was going to write a tweet, and I was typing, and it's such a corny thing to say. I like to be a little more in depth with my words. I'm not to just say, oh, I'd like, he'd give you the shirt off his back. I'm like, that's, everybody says that, but I'm literally typing it out, and then it clicked. And I was like, oh my God, I have his jacket. And I went in my closet, and it was like, right when I opened it, it was just right there. And he gave me that jacket to go to a press conference, cause I didn't have one. And last minute, Forrest grabbed me. And I was standing with Elias when Forrest was like, hey, I need you to come do this little press conference for Exos. And he walked away, and I was like, I don't have any attire. And Elias was just like, boom, take my jacket. And I was like, that's just kind of who he was. And he's just the type of guy that when he walked in the room, he just lit the room up. Everybody got their time with him. You always left with a smile on your face. And I'm very thankful. It's nothing to be sad about. He's a warrior, and I cherish the moments I had with him. I definitely had a moment where I was sad, but like, I was like, this isn't what he wants. I should cherish the good moments we had and live my life to the fullest. And I think a lot of people that know Elias would agree with that.
Did you know he was sick?
I had no idea. And that just shows how big of a freaking badass he is. I mean, and for people that haven't seen him fight, I mean, this is a guy, a behemoth at 185 pounds, big physical guy, you know, super tough. I mean, when he fought Thiago Santos, head busted wide open, still, you know, charged him on a straight line. The way he fought, he went at that the cancer the same way. He didn't want sympathy from anybody. Right. He just wanted to fight and do his thing. And I commend him for that.
Yeah.
It's crazy, man. When somebody dies, you're like, well, they wouldn't want you to be upset. But like, that's what Longo says. Like, I don't want people at my funeral depressed. I'm like, dude, I'll be roasting you I'll be up there attacking you still. Get one last dig in. Yeah. It's tough, man. It's like, you want to kind of like cherish their life. But at the same time, you're like, it depends on how close you are with the person. But it's like, oh, man, I'm never going to be like shooting the shit with that guy again.
Yeah. See, I'm just the opposite. When I die, I want a national day of mourning. I want fucking flags at half staff. I want people unable to continue with their lives.
A national holiday?
Oh, dude, I want people to go, I'm too upset to work. I'm amazed by people who can like have a disease and not tell anybody. Like the strength it takes to do that, like the inner resolve. I guess I'm very weak, and I would just never be able to shut up about it. So I'm fascinated with guys who can do that.
Yeah, I am too. I think I'd be somewhere in the middle, because it's like, for people that don't know Mike Swick, UFC legend from the legendary season one of The Ultimate Fighter. I don't know if he's in remission or what's going on with him, but he's going through some sort of cancer. And, you know, it's good to come out and tell people like, hey, it's not like there's a right way or wrong way to do it, but it's right. I can see both ways of going about it. For him, he's like, I'm going at this. I'm going to fight it. I'm going to still train and like, you know, wanting to share his story. So it's just how I think to each individual that's going through that, how they perceive what their approach is going to be. And there's no wrong way to go about it.
Sure.
But just a couple badasses, Mike Swick, Elias Theodoro, man, a couple legends right there.
Is Mike Swick out of the woods with everything?
I'm not too sure. You know, I know he's in the gym training. I know he still looks shredded. You know, the guy is still jacked. You know, he takes good care of himself. We spoke a little bit about it, but I think he's doing all right. You know, I think he's still chugging along. I'm not sure if he's in remission or not. I bet if I dug through his social media, I can find out.
I'm going to hit him up.
Yeah.
What about you? You're 34. Yeah. You know, you're great behind the mic. You know, you got a lot of options, but you got some stuff in the basement. You're still fucking fighting.
there's still a lot of tread on the tires, Matt. Like it's for one, you know, I've been dealing with the nagging. I've had back problems since 2016. So I had to pull out of the Tony Ferguson fight with a ruptured disc. I ruptured my L4, L5, pulled out of my first main event. And then the last 6 years, you know, I've been managing, and then it just kind of took a shit on me, for lack of better words. And so that happened like at the very end of February. And the plan was like, after the Brady fight, I promised my wife, and she knows, like, you know, I'm a hungry guy. And if I come up short in a fight, I want to immediately like get back in the gym and get another one and live on the win and not the loss. And I promised her after the Brady fight, I'd take some time off to have the wedding, but I want to jump into a fight right after. And obviously that didn't pan out because the back injury happened. But, you know, that's why I'm out here. I'm out here in Vegas right now, just getting treatment, getting some different opinions and stuff. The goal is to book a fight before the end of the year. I wanted to fight December 17th. But I just, dude, I have a lot of years left. I really believe I do, Matt. And it's not me being, you know, ignorant or just, I just look at how my body is aside from my back. You know, my chin is intact. Yeah. I haven't taken a lot of shots, you know, outside the back. My body's good. I haven't had any major surgeries
outside the back. Now listen, man.
Yeah.
I just got a new knee.
Yeah.
By the way, Jimmy, I rolled this morning. It was with some of the girls. Not to be
that's all right. That's good. You're rolling.
Not to be a bully, but, yeah. And I also rolled my daughter. So it's feeling fucking good.
I saw that video, by the way. It was really nice.
Good. Oh, my kids. Don't get me emotional in front of Mike. But listen to me. I'm loving it. I'm feeling good. But back to what I was saying, new knee, fucking knee problems. I had fucking other issues. When I had my L4, L5, my back thing, I don't know what shit is with you. When I couldn't brush my teeth and straighten up. I was immobilized. It's soft. So what is it with your back that's going on? Is it the lower back? Upper?
It is low back. Yeah. So it was the L4, L5 in 2016. Now it's my L3, L4. So the good thing is, you know, I'm going to see a surgeon to rule out surgery. If you know, I've had people look at the MRIs, they don't think I need back surgery. And I honestly wouldn't get it anyways. I'd find a way to work around it because I've talked to people that have had the back surgery, particularly DC. And he's just like, you know, I couldn't train the same, especially for me. I'm a grappler, dude. I need to wrestle. I need to grapple. That's how my camps have to be. And you start taking away your mobility, you take away your wrestling. So it's not even to that point. So I think I'll have some answers by the end of the week, but I got a fire to compete, man. I'm still sitting in the top 15. I'm still as hungry as ever. I know I got a lot of tread left on my tires. I can't keep myself out of the gym. And I just want to fight, man. I just don't feel like I've been beat yet. And I know that's the fighter in me, but it's like nobody's really shut me out. Every moment I've had, even for every fight I've had a moment where I could have won. So
that reminds me of the fight with Sean Brady, man. Yeah. Cause it's like, all right, wasn't going your way, but look at the way it fucking ended. That must've been like, fuck, give me a minute. Give me 30 seconds.
Yeah.
30 seconds. And I have my victory. I mean, it ended so, so strong for you in a tough fight.
Yeah.
It's like a round earlier, a minute earlier.
Just give me a main event. Give me five rounds. I'm a five round fighter, dude. I know how to get in the red and fight in the trenches. That's kind of where I shine. So maybe that's what I'll push for. There's fights I want. I like the Wonder Boy fight. I like the Li Jing Liang fight. You know, I like the fights in the top 15. So we'll see what happens.
What do you think about? It's got to be like you're talking about age and having a lot of time left. When you see a guy like Francisco Trinaldo, how old is he? Is he 44?
44, yeah.
43, I think he's 44. And what he just did, I mean, he lost the Brown fight. But, I mean, he still is still an active and dangerous fighter. That's got to be encouraging when you see a lot of guys going up into their early and now mid-40s. I guess through all the treatments that are available and just maybe certain things changing in training, but it's got to encourage you. Like, you could have another good decade of fighting left.
Yeah, you know, and I don't know if I want another decade.
Right.
I'd like to be out before I'm 40, but fuck, if I'm looking like Glover Teixeira out there, why would you stop? You know, and it's... Yeah, the game is changing, but fight years is a real thing. I think Trinaldo's a little bit of an exception because he has good genetics. I mean, the guy, you just look at his stature. I think he's born with the six pack and buys and tries.
Yeah.
But like, look at Rory McDonald. He retired at 33, but that's because he started fighting professionally at 16. You know, fight years, it's not, they don't really compare to your age. You can be, you could be 33 years old, but in fighters, you could be fucking 70 because you've had too many fights. So
what is he doing, by the way, Rory McDonald? Do you know?
I think he's in like the Bitcoin game. I think he does the cryptocurrency thing. And, you know, I think he had a lot of big fights and he's probably doing well for himself. You know, I think that he said in his retirement, like he really is looking for the next challenge in life.
Right.
And that's good as a, I think a lot of fighters don't have that in their mind where like they don't look beyond fighting and maybe you don't necessarily want to, cause it's like a reality you don't want to face. But like when a guy like Rory's like, you know what? I'm 33. I'm done. I'm ready for the next challenge his life presents me. It's like, you know, just by that statement, he's going to land on his feet and he's going to be just fine.
Bitcoin. Yeah. I know Ben Askren is really into it, but I'm such a stupid asshole. I bought in at like 60,000. I spent some money and then it's down at 19. So I'm always late to
life,
the party.
Right? Isn't that what they say? HODL? Hold on for dear life.
I'm going to hold on, but yeah. I mean, I have a feeling it's going to get ugly.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Talking about fights, even though we're not, I'm trying to.
Sure.
You like the way I segue?
Well, I like your
phone booths. I don't even know what I'm talking about. But, hey, the 209's got a new member in the UFC.
Yo,
what is it? Is she a Diaz sister? She looked, holy shit, man. Chandler, what? Give me her.
Chelsea Chandler.
Right? Yeah. Chelsea Chandler, holy shit. It's funny because it's close to Chelsea Handler. That's the
yes.
Yeah. Right? That's right? It is.
The one that was dating 50 Cent, you know?
Yeah.
Chelsea Chandler. What a badass. What a fucking badass. Even the way she's doing, I believe it was her left or her right, the lead left hook. She was fighting like a Diaz brother, dude. And she trains under Cesar Gracie and also... Shit, who's the Roman? Who's the Sambo guy?
I know you're talking about. I know who you're talking about. It's on the tip of my brain, too.
I think it's Roman something.
I can look it up. Like, Roman Chivikian?
Is that tight?
Something like that. Sure,
but yeah. It's definitely, I think it's Roman, but he's a Sambo guy. So yeah. She's got these like these old school trainers that trained the Diaz brothers. And I'll tell you right now, if they said, oh, here's our younger sister, I'd be like, oh, I'd believe it. Because even her demeanor and everything, she was badass.
Yeah.
I like when, like, I'm watching the card and all of a sudden I'm like, why? I'm watching the prelims.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden I get surprised. I'm like, who's this? And then
New girl.
Where's it come from? And I'm not sure of her record. Do we know her record?
5-1. I've won on the UFC and 5-1.
Well, I like it because you're only as, you know, good as your fucking dance partner. And, help me with that.
Oh, Julia Stolyarenko.
Yes.
Yes.
You know, she was, you know, looking good. Wait a second. She's 1-5 in the UFC?
Oh, Julia.
Is that right?
1-5 in the UFC. Is that a mistake? No, because she's 10-8-1.
She beat, just beat Jessica Rose Clark before she fought.
Look at our notes, please.
1-5.
Uh-oh.
You better not have pulled into fucking Antonio there.
Well, hold on. If she's 10-8-1, that means she was 9-3 she entered.
Yeah, she is 1-5. She must have fought. They don't even have the right picture for her. That's Leah Letson.
That's Leah Letson! Jake the Mighty Ginger!
That might not be his fault, though. Jake might have just copied and pasted. Yeah, see, blame ESPN. Okay, yeah, ESPN fucked up.
Blame ESPN for that.
Right. But yeah, yes. Dude, you want to talk about a badass. And then what a shot of life into 145. You know, she's a 45er. She's a true 45er. She's big. She's a little green. I think it took her a little bit to settle into the fight. She looked a little bit uncomfortable. You know, a little, the lead hook was good, but you could tell she's a little afraid to commit to her right hand. But yeah, I mean, just power. I mean, every punch she landed in her ground and pound was just like, and it was very reminiscent. You're going to like this comparison. It reminded me of when Gaethje fought Ferguson. Not to that. Remember when they fought and it was just every punch that it sounded like someone slapping two steaks together.
Yeah.
Apex was empty and you could hear when Chelsea would land that ground and pound, it had some thud to it. And it's a good addition to 45 because I think that they were getting pretty close to closing up shop there. I mean, there's no one, aside from Norma Dumont and Nunes, I don't really think there's very many fighters at 45. So good shot of life into that division for sure.
But what's interesting is that she said that with a proper camp, she'd like to fight at 135. But she'd jump right back in at 145, if I remember correctly.
I think, you know what, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. I mean, she's a big girl. She looked big. Like, she looked like a true 45er. So, I mean, and not to mention, and not to sound like a jerk, but there's easier fights at 45 than 35. You know, it's like, I mean, she could get herself right into a title fight in a couple fights.
Well, I like that. I told Jake the Mighty Ginger, you can confirm this. I texted you yesterday. I go, let's get her on the show. So sometimes some people just like, they get my, you know, there's great fights every card, but sometimes there's that fighter that has that little fucking,
she's shine. Something, yeah, yeah, oomph.
Something there,
yeah,
little oomph,
yeah,
like a, hey, first of all, Guido Gennady, Guido, how the fuck, Guido, let me tell you something, 42 years old, and Randy Costa, could you please, in this picture on the fight sheet, good looking gentleman,
very good looking kid,
yeah,
you see him fight night, he looks like a good looking gentleman. In a disguise, because he had one of those fucking, it's the same guy, but he has a fucking muscle man, fucking handlebar mustache.
It's like, if Wyatt Earp was a hipster, yeah, that would be
Randy. Exactly. Costa. It's like, yo, this don't fit. What the fuck?
Who else had that mustache? Who else had
Eddie
that?
Wineland had
it was one. Eddie Wineland. Yeah.
I think there was someone else. Someone
it's
else.
Not a good luck mustache. It's not a good luck mustache.
No.
It's almost like you deserve it.
Going for the gunslinger look, though. You know, he probably watched Tombstone during fight week and was like, screw it, dude. I'm shaving a freaking mustache.
Yeah.
I want to be like Wyatt.
I'm Huckleberry, and then things went south.
Yeah, absolutely.
Guido Gennady, break out the fucking cannolis, guy.
Dude, this seriously.
Is phenomenal. I love that.
We have the three of the five oldest fighters on the UFC roster on the same card.
Olenek, definitely Olenek. What is Olenek 45?
Olenek's 45, Trinaldo, and Guido. And then in Latifi's like an honorable mention because he's 40.
Yeah. That was not the most exciting fight between those two.
Really?
But it was still, not a barn burner.
Yeah. Rashad had a good nickname for Latifi. He called him Ilir LaBeefy. Like, he is LaBeefy.
Yeah. And his neck, we had him on last week, and Matt, his neck really is it's a thing of awe.
There's not a neck.
It's not the
lack of a neck. But you know what doesn't look good? See, Olenek is awesome when he wins.
Yeah.
Like, oh, look, he's playing everybody. He looks like, but when he doesn't win and then between rounds, he's laying down and somebody just watching him, like, what is that? It says he's 45. I'd be doing the same thing in LA. He's acting like he's 45. He's laying down in the fucking.
Yeah.
So it's like, all right, there's one thing to play possum. And there's another thing to just be acting like an old man in here. It's fucking weird.
But there's also the thing with him, though.
Body language is not good.
He's still not getting knocked. He didn't get knocked out. And there's also the thing of, hey, I'm 45. What the fuck do you want from me? It's almost like the attraction is because he's still dangerous at 45. Like, you know, he can still strangle somebody. But, I don't know how many more of those he can do.
With the right matchup, though. He's not getting knocked out now, but it's like, look who you fought in your last two fights. You know, I love Latifi. That's my boy. He can crack with the best of them, but... That's not a known knockout guy. Jared Vandera was the last guy he fought. You know, that's another guy, not a good fighter, but not a known, you know, knockout artist. And heavyweight, you know, you get up at the top of the heap, those guys can shut your lights off.
Who was right before Vandera?
Not to throw it right back to Kennedy real quick.
Yeah. You should, though, because I love talking about Guido because I love his name.
I do too.
Kennedy.
Now, listen, in the fight game, excuse me, when people make it a fucking relaxed sparring session, that might be good for your head, but it's also sometimes really good for your opponent's head too. You get little instances where you gotta fucking jump on somebody because you might not get that chance again. I'll tell you right now, Randy Costa, he knows jiu-jitsu. He doesn't suck. You don't think he's got his back taken, but he saw an opportunity Guido.
Yeah.
Where he hit the floor and he jumped. He went on his back and he chased that fucking back. He didn't even give it. It was like a whoa, whoa, whoa. He went to look around him. They were doing a little Three Stooges. He did not give him a chance to recover. And the fight got, it didn't even get started. I mean, a minute in, he fucking jumped on him.
Well, that fight was going to end in the first five. I mean, the first 5 minutes, I thought someone was going to get their lights shut off. And Costa, I mean, he trains Joe Lozon. That's as good of a jiu-jitsu coach as he's a phenomenal coach. He's a tremendous fighter. And like you said, Guido, just like being very opportunistic. Like you see that opportunity. Costa is proficient on the ground, but you stun him. It's the same thing as if you stun someone with a punch. You're like, I'm going to skip the wrist trap in the process. I'm going to jump right on the submission. You can really stun a guy with that. And it was good for him to get a win like that.
Where does Joe train him?
In Massachusetts,
I think. It is. Okay. I know he's from the Boston area. I don't know if he's still there. What did you guys think watching the Dern Xiaonan fight? What did you think of why am I so tense when I watch her fight? Like watching Mackenzie Dern fight, it just seems like every moment is uncomfortable for whoever she has a hold of.
I think there's a lot of skill with Mackenzie Dern, but she's pretty wild on the feet. Like when she jumps into these exchanges with her chin high, I go, I can kind of tense up a little bit. Like, oh, here we go. There's a couple times she got cracked, and Yanan can crack. She's got laser beams for straight punches. I mean, she hits with the best of them, and like, boom, she would snap Mackenzie's head back. And oh, you know, you're kind of tensing up. And it's she's got an exciting style, but I just feel like it's when she just kind of jumps into the fire, you kind of tense up a little bit.
I love Perillo in the corner, and I also love, I think he was going into the fifth where he goes, okay, you know, you're down. And I think Mackenzie said 3-1. Yeah. 3-1. Like she really knew where she was at. And I love the fact that they were both so realistic about how that fight was going. Cause it was one round. I was like, I wonder if they gave that to Mackenzie, but they didn't. And I'm glad she saw it too.
Yeah.
It's such a difference when she gets it down. The hard jiu-jitsu is so good. First of all, we should add that she has a very good chin and she's not, she'll get hit and not, fucking, it won't take the steam out of her. She'll still go forward as long as she's standing. You know, I think one time in the fight, she got kind of shook, if I remember correctly. And she also has the ability to go to her back if she ever gets shook, you know, a la Charles Oliveira, because they have that fucking guard that nobody wants to be in. I love, man, when she got that, first of all, I picked second round sub. So when she was attacking her on the ground in the second round, I'm like, oh, I was going so crazy. I'm like, this is it. This is it. Fuck you, Jimmy. I might have yelled at. Sorry, Jimmy, because you were choosing Jan. So she was on her. On her. I like how she got on top. I know she has to get better with the wrestling. You were making that point, Michael Chiesa. And I agree with that. She does. I think that's because I think her hands are good enough to close the distance. And she has good awareness. That is pretty much the missing piece. But if you don't have that by now, she does use unique ways of getting on top by attacking legs, going to the back. Next thing you know, she's on top, attacking subs. That fucking omoplata was so fucking, I loved it.
You I was waiting for her going for the rear naked choke. She did that in LFA. She had an omoplata and reached over the girl's neck and like short choked her while she's, imagine getting omoplata and someone's pulling on your neck. Like that's just terrible.
Fucking excellent.
Do you think, I want to ask you guys' opinion. Do you think that Jan I think it was the end of the fourth where it looked like Mackenzie was having a 10-8 round. And I think that last few seconds, one of the judges, I think, gave it to her because one of the judges has a draw. And I was like, I wonder if that last surge by Jan at the end of, I want to say the fourth round, the last 15 or 20 seconds where she just got on top and did a little ground and pound, saved her from a 10-8 round there.
Yes. Well, I'm going to backtrack and say one thing about Mackenzie, and then I will tell you my opinion on that. For one, I talked to Jason after the fight. And he said that she does work on, like, she works with, like, collegiate type of wrestling. And I said, if I was to give my opinion, and I don't want to offend anybody, and you're a tremendous coach, like you've been a huge missing piece for her. Jason's amazing coach. He's got, the stable of athletes. He's had Cheeto, Rockhold. He coached the middleweight champion, Mike Bisping. I said, she needs an MMA coach. She needs like a guy that knows how to get a fight. She's a forward fighter. She needs to know somebody that knows how to wrestle the fence. Like if you need to find an MMA coach that knows how to wrestle on the fence. She doesn't need to learn ankle picks in high school, collegiate type of wrestling. She needs to learn how to MMA wrestle. And I do think that in that fifth round, to what you were saying, Matt, if she didn't go for the armbar, I think she would have won the 10-8 round. But that's not how Mackenzie Dern, she wants to finish. She sees a limb hanging. That is like instinct. It's almost like a natural born instinct for her for how long she's been doing jiu-jitsu. If somebody puts an arm out like that, she's going to jump on and take it. So I don't give her any flack for taking that chance, because she could have finished the fight. And even if she stays on top, she doesn't win. You know, so you're not getting your win bonus. You might as well sell out and go for the armbar.
Wait, was that the fifth round that I'm thinking of, the 10-8? Was that the fifth?
So the 10-8 was the second, and then a lot of people think the fifth would have been a 10-8 if she didn't fall off, if she didn't drop off.
The fifth is the one I'm thinking of, though. The fifth is the one I'm thinking of where she okay. I didn't realize they gave her a 10-8 in the second. I thought maybe one of the judges gave her the 10-8 in the fifth. Okay.
One judge gave her the 10-8 in the fifth, and then the other two didn't.
Okay.
She had to go for broke. You know?
Yeah, you got to. So you're not getting your win bonus with the draw. Right. So you might as well go. You might as well attack the limb.
And that's the way. If you're gonna go out, that's the way you want to go out. Attacking, not holding on and saying, "Well, I survived."
Right.
She was just like, "Give me an inch. I'll take a fucking yard." She was looking for any little bit to latch onto anything. Speaking about latching on.
Here we go.
Brendan Allen.
Fired up, Matt.
Brendan Allen with Jocko was fucking awesome, because Christoph Jocko has very good grappling himself. So I like how when he got on top of Allen after a failed kick or a slip, I should say, Allen right away was just going for that fucking arm like a fucking savage. But he went almost into like an umaplata, and you know, when you go for an umaplata, you just have the near side, the arm that's closest to the body has to be able to make sure he doesn't pass over you. Yeah. So I believe if he just had that, he would have got on top and maybe got the finish earlier. But Jocko is he's squirmy. Yeah. And I like the use of the lockdown on bottom. And then again,
sweep was nice. This was really nice.
A well-timed oompa.
Oompa
reversal. A well-timed oompa or trap and roll.
What's an oompa? What is it?
A trap and roll. It's like a bridge, basically. A bridge and roll over your shoulder.
Okay.
And he had Allen had the overhook, right? So he had the lockdown, the overhook. Yeah, basically just lock down their one side and just roll them over.
And it's like a bridge. And when he does that, I don't know if he had the lockdown open at that point. I think it was more of a feet on the floor bridge. Because it wasn't like an elevator sweep or anything. It was like a timed oompa. And then he got on top, and I'll tell you, man, Brendan Allen, I love his jiu-jitsu, man. He's one of those big guys that really knows how to flow. Top, bottom, and I'm happy for him. I thought that was great.
When he's putting it together well. When he got in the UFC, he really shined as a grappler. I mean, his first UFC fight was Kevin Holland. Super tough Kevin Holland.
Yeah.
And he showed his submission skills, and he's evolved since being at Sanford, really started to shine as a striker. But I like the way he's putting it together. And now, I mean, this guy's 26 years old. He's 20-5. I mean, what a wealth of experience at that age. See, that's 25 pro fights at 26. Like, that's... I don't even think I have 20.
That's crazy. Yeah.
I heard my brother. Daniel Gracie was in the corner. No, I heard Daniel in there.
Yeah. Yeah. Everyone's going to Philly now, man. That's the hotbed. The only person from Philly to come on tour is Pat Sabatini. The home team's been undefeated thus far.
That's true. And I believe Daniel Gracie has a new jiu-jitsu school in Las Vegas. I'll give him a little plug.
Yeah, Daniel Gracie,
jiu-jitsu, whatever.
Yeah, Sabatini, just who did he tap to? It was
Damon Jackson. Yeah. And you know what? Damon Jackson was going through the whole.
Oh, his brother,
And you know, I don't think there's a man on earth that could have beat him on that night. You know, that's just a man possessed type of situation. You know, if you're talking about latching on to stuff, Matt, let's talk about Randy Brown latching onto that fence.
I know, Trinaldo. Didn't Trinaldo latch onto it?
That bothered me.
It was Trinaldo or Lashdon, right?
It was Brown. Yeah, Trinaldo versus Brown, and Brown latched.
And not only that,
Brown that lashed, right?
Yes, it's exhausting. That's exhausting. And you're doing that to a fucking 45-year-old guy, Randy Brown. I don't like that there wasn't – listen, it's an instinct. You can't really
– Yeah.
You know, it's not like I did it five times. He did it once.
But it was so deliberate. It was so deliberate, he was going down and he pulled himself back. It's like, dude, you didn't just grab. Like, some people clinch and like kind of put their fingers in the fence. Like, no, you went and pulled yourself back into position.
You know what's funny? I was thinking the other night, Jimmy, I'm watching I'm watching Keith Peterson let a fight go a little bit. Go.
Yeah.
You're giving him every opportunity. I'll tell you, Keith Peterson giving. I know Dominic Cruz is sitting there like, oh, God, stop. Yeah, man. You know, he's like biting his tongue. Yeah. Like, mm. He wants to fucking say something.
Oh, dude, he did. He's not professional. It was Castaneda's fight versus Santos, which is a fucking. Oh my God, dude. I was like, how is this Santos guy standing? What is in the water in Brazil? And then he says in the post fight, he's like, I get hit way harder in practice. I'm like, how the fuck are you guys practicing, dude? Castaneda was hitting him with bombs and he stayed up. But yeah, you know, Dominic was chewing on his cheek.
Should they have taken a point from Randy Brown? It was Anix, yes. You know, made that comment about, I guess, pull your testicles out, which is not like a typical Anix comment. I guess that really bugged him.
Well, Anix a passionate. He's passionate about these fights. I mean, and he.
Wait, what did he say? Tell.
He said, pull your testicles out to the ref, that he should have taken a point from Randy Brown.
On the broadcast.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
John Anix is a great guy.
He's great.
But yeah, in those types of cases, man. Yeah, you got to take a point. That was that dude, that fence grab changed the trajectory of the round. Or at least if you're not going to take the point, pause it, warn him, and then put him on the ground, because he literally was going down to the ground and like pulled himself back to life. You know,
that's my next question. What position? Because you don't know exactly how he's going to fall. If they are going to position you on the ground, what position would he have put him in? Would he have been on his hands and knees? Would they have put him on his back?
Well, see, now that you say that, you know, I'm going to retract what I said. Maybe you shouldn't put him on the ground. Maybe the thing is to take a point, you know, because that would be the problem. Like, okay, Trinaldo could have argued, I would have landed in side mount. And Brown could have said, well, I would have landed in guard. And then he said,
that's a rough one, Michael Chiesa. Yeah, if you try to look, if you put them on the ground and that guy gets elbowed and loses, they could be like, God fucking ref. Yeah. And the ref's going to go, I heard it on Unfiltered. And Kiesa said, it's not a fucking, I would retract that right away.
Do you guys, as fighters, do you like, because you'll hear sometimes the announcer say something about something somebody's doing. And I know Tony Ferguson, I think, gets a little irritated. Did you ever hear something about yourself when you're rewatching a fight with commentary that you really either were offended at or that it pissed you off or that you wanted to talk to the guy about?
No, you know, here's the thing, man. For one, I have pretty thick skin. So, you know, if you're having a bad fight or things aren't going your way, fine. Yeah, I mean, I fought RDA with Bisping on the commentary. Imagine how that went. You know, oh, Chiesa, look at him. He doesn't even want to fight. He just wants to wrestle. Like, I don't care. And it's like, there's so many things that play a part in that. Like, Bisping having a bias over somebody or, you know, if DC's commentating Duran's fights or something, like, something that they're not doing intentionally, but it's almost instinctual. And for me, I just know how it is in the broadcasting world. You're always going to piss somebody off. I mean, imagine doing pre-fight. You have to pick who's going to win. So you pick who's going to win, and then the guy that, you know, you picked against sees you the next day. He's like, yeah, thanks for picking against me, asshole. I'm like, I'm just doing my job, buddy. I don't – you're never going to make everybody happy. You know?
Yeah.
Michael Bisping just, I think, talks, and whatever comes, and he's fucking great. He knows how to talk. He's great on the fly. Well, there was one commentary when DC is saying something, and he goes, yeah, that's because the guy's wearing the gi and this and that. He shouldn't wear the gi and the thing. And also Michael Bisping, without skipping a beat, goes, there's not a gi on the planet that you could fit in, DC. And then DC goes, oh, man, Michael. And he goes, and now he's talking about he just didn't stop. He just threw that fucking KO at him.
Yeah.
And TC's like, what? I think Bisping's fucking hysterical. But speaking of that, me being a former fat guy.
Oh, my, the abs.
I had to stretch my leg. I had to stretch my leg.
Yeah, understandable. You're sure it's a small
shirt.
But my
point is this.
Yeah.
I'm on TRT. I'm pissing hot. And let me tell you something. I fucking love it.
I'm jealous, dude. I tell people all the time when I'm retired, I'm going to join you.
Yes. Yeah, you don't have to. No, listen to me. You put on a few pounds. What are you, fucking 6'3"? Oh, six, yeah. You'd look, if anything, oh, look, he's a little husky. I become a meatball. I'm 5'6". I walk around 6'5". I'm very
What confident. Does TRT keep you from putting on weight? What exactly does it do for you, Matt?
It's testosterone, bro. But you got to go.
The fountain of youth.
It's the fucking fountain of youth. Look at me, Jimmy.
I know. It makes you want to take it.
I was a chubby guy, Jimmy.
Oh, come on.
I'm telling you.
No, I mean, you're fat.
I think DC should go get checked.
Yeah.
And if his levels are a little low, get on that.
Yeah.
Just do some wrestling, dude. You think I'm on the fucking elliptical every day? All I do is roll and teach. And when so I'm not
maybe older, maybe you should do an ADCC super fight then, Matt.
Yeah, let me get my knee warmed up a little bit and see what they want to offer some cheddar.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Let's hit give my boy Matt a match. Let's go.
I got three kids.
Let's say I start taking it, okay? Yeah. I just go to the gym casually. I'm not
Jimmy, because it's going to get you a little hairy.
Yeah. I don't like that. I'm very smooth.
You're going to get a little angry. You're going to get a little
tense. Yeah, I'm too small to be angry.
Jimmy, I'm telling you, Jimmy.
I'm not hairy.
I feel Jimmy.
Yes.
You're like a little hamster. Listen to me. I'm telling you now. I'm telling you, it is the fact, but you got to get checked. Because you have to give blood once in a while.
Right.
Plus, you know, you don't want your blood getting too thick and stuff like that.
No.
Because it adds to some red blood cells, whatever it is.
I want
to
fucking
where else am I getting my blood taken every 7 weeks and they're saying, all right, this, that, the other, cholesterol. It's a fucking good thing.
Is it bad for your heart, though? Because I take a little something for the cholesterol. Not much, but.
Oh, by the way, how's fucking Final Destination Dana doing? Listen to me. What is the fun level? Hey, yo, Final Destination. Listen, the guy's Jimmy. The guy's got.
He looks good though.
He's got a creepy crystal ball.
Would you want to know?
About 10 years.
Would you want to know? Would you go see somebody and be like, "Hey, would you go see a specialist?" That's like, "Hey, you can go see this guy, and he'll tell you when you're going to die." Would you do it?
Yeah,
I don't want to fucking know.
Right out of a movie.
I don't want to know. I don't want. No. What if he does your blood test and he just gets the paper and he's like. Oh, I have real bad news. You got like a month left.
I would love to know that. It's not predetermined. In most cases, it's not predetermined in most cases. Like with Dana, it's like, hey, man, if you keep doing this shit, this is what you got. But if you switch, you could live a lot longer. Like that's what you want, the butt. Like without the butt, it's morbid. But if you can get the butt.
Well, you don't need the butt to know. For one, Dana loves candy. The guy lives off of Sour Patch Kids, I swear to God. So for one, you eat a little spinach, that'd go a long way. So, you know, Dana, you could have hit me up. I could have charged you half and told you to eat some spinach, you know.
I wonder what this
candy and you're good.
Who is this doctor, huh? Who is this fuck? He's gonna be like, look, man, you got 10 years. 10 years unless you take fucking Shim Sham. He's gonna have some fucking thing. Hit this fucking drink, and I'll tell you, you'll be fucking pissing lightning. I mean, who knows?
Sheesh.
I don't know, man. I mean, is this a coincidence? You know?
Yeah.
Get the fuck out of here with that. What is he? I mean, come on. What are you checking your blood and you know when you're gonna fucking die?
He's been giving you an estimate.
How many times have you been right? How many times has this guy been right?
I'd love to know. What's his record?
Dr. Notre Dame. How long? How many people is what I want to know. Anyway,
I bet you Josh Fabian knows that doctor. Your boy Josh Fabian knows who that doctor is.
Who the fuck is that?
Wasn't he Diego Sanchez's trainer?
I bet he knows who the doctor is.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Shame about Tabitha Ricci's fight. That was all.
Yes.
Which one?
Tabitha Ricci. Yeah.
Yeah, her fight
fell off. Jessica Penne.
Yes, she was sick.
Grab her a bottle of water.
You know, and Jessica Penne, she's 39 years old, Jimmy.
Yeah.
You know?
You don't see, I mean, outside of Sarah McMahon, you don't see a lot of fighters.
I feel bad for Sarah McMahon. Aspen Ladd had too much pudding, and poor Sarah McMahon. Goes through a camp, the other girl's fucking eating a pudding, and she doesn't make weight for the third fucking time.
How much does the fighter get if that happens? Meaning the fighter who didn't fuck up and who's ready to fight.
I think that the person that weighed in gets their show money. I think that's within the contract. If you show up and you make weight, then you
you go. Hey, here's the loser's purse. Yeah, they should get the other one's show money also.
Yeah.
That's you know?
Yeah,
and we're a pudding.
Yeah,
come on, lad.
Talking about weight misses too. What were your thoughts on the whole Chimaev deal?
I heard it was the doctor's. I heard that because he was too. Yeah. Even he wouldn't be so arrogant to go out eating the night before after missing by 8 or 7.5 pounds. I heard it was he was having problems and the doctor told him to stop cutting. So I suspect he knew he had the Kevin Holland fight and it just hadn't been announced yet. That's what my guess is. But I heard it was the doctors told him to stop cutting, right?
Yeah, that's. I mean, that's what I had heard. I had heard it was during the weight cut. I think it was, here's the thing, dude. And I know I was talking to Paulie about this, dude, you know, and Chimaev knows and his whole team knows the second that you bring the doctor up, when you are cutting weight, it's off. It's never going to go through. They're never going to come up when you're a big guy like Chimaev coming down to a low weight class, come in and see you fucking dried out with your cheeks sucked in, your abs bulging out, every rib showing like it's a fucking xylophone, and you're laying there dying. Like, they're not going to look at your vitals and say, well, you know what? Just get a little night's rest and you should be good in the morning. No, they're doctors. You are compromised. Right. They're going to say, you need an IV. You're done cutting weight. The team knows it. Chimaev knows it. All the guys around him know it. When you bring the doctor up, the cut is off. That is basically you throwing in the towel. I've been there. I miss weight and I refuse to bring the doctor in because I'm like, I am going to go down swinging if I'm actually going to miss weight. And he didn't go down swinging.
Did he bring the doctor in or did somebody say, doc, take a look at him?
His team did. Or, you know, either way, it's his decision. And it's like, I don't know.
So you think the doctor, you think the doctor is the way of going, hey, they told me to stop. Like, so you think the doctor is almost,
it's a good out. Me and Paul were talking about this. Paul, you want to talk about a guy that knows about tough cuts? I mean, the guy made 55 on 5 days' notice.
Right.
How do you think he felt? He probably felt as, think about this. Chimaev had a 10-week camp to miss weight. Paul Felder cut, and he's a big 55er, cut to 55 on 5 days' notice. How do you think he felt? You know,
right.
I mean, he's probably getting carried around. He probably felt like shit. You know, so I don't know, dude. I just...
What do you think the motive is? Because, yeah, he fought Holland, who's a big name, but Diaz is Diaz. Do you think he just knew he wasn't good? Because what's the reason to do that when you're main eventing against Diaz, which is such a bigger name? I mean, I don't understand the thinking there. Did he just think, fuck it, I'm not going to make it down?
I don't know. Khabib made a good point, and I'm not Muslim, so it's not my place to say he needs more Muslims around him. But I do think it's like, who are the people around you? You got a good team, but is bringing Darren Till in really helping anything? A guy that's missed weight, a guy that's kind of a knucklehead, is bringing Darren Till around. Yeah, it's good for social media, but is it good for fight day? You know, I feel like Chimaev's fight week was just so swirled up with him just wanting to tussle with everybody. You know, like, I don't know. I just... Maybe he's just been lying to himself and he needs to be at 185 pounds. You know, it's a weird deal, but it's like, it did seem, whether he knew the Chimaev fight was in the bank or not, like, you would think they'd say, hey, you got to, you know, keep it together. It's like, you wouldn't be out eating cheeseburgers in the public eye for fans to comment on Twitter about,
right?
You know,
the Holland fight, you mean the Holland fight?
Yeah, the Holland fight. Sorry. But yeah, so it's,
I just think he likes to fucking fight, and I don't think he gives that much of a fuck. He'll be like, all right, I think if you even hear him, everything's like, my coach says this or that, I'll listen to my coach. Like, he doesn't really, I just think he wants to smash people. I just think,
well, then go, I think he should just go to 85. If you just want to eat and train, like Andreas Michael said, then just go up to 85.
In fairness, another fighter, if this happened, they can be like, look, that's your last time. Now you're a 185 fighter.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's what they'd say in the past. This shit happened. So, you know, I'm not starting shit. I like when they ask him, like, who do you think this would jeopardize you fighting for that 170 title? He's like, who else are you gonna give it to? Well, they'll give it to somebody that makes weight one. I mean, you know, that's a big, he's making kind of light of the fact that he didn't make weight. That's what that bothers me. So I'd be all for him.
You seemed arrogant.
You know what I mean?
It seemed arrogant. Who else, who else are you going to give it to? Like,
Bilal Muhammad. I mean, dude, there's other people.
I don't know. 10 pounds. You almost missed it by fucking 10 pounds, dude. You almost came in at a different weight class. It reminded me of when poor Marvin Vettori fought
Paul Acosta.
Dude.
And it's funny that you bring him up, because if I was to say, when you look at what's next for Chimaev, I'm not saying any fight at 170. I don't think you deserve to fight for the belt. You can't count on him. Think about this. Who else are you going to give the title fight to? I'm going to give the title fight to somebody I don't got to worry about making weight or not.
Because
that's a real thing. So for me, I think that you, with all your antics you did during fight week, the missed weight, the fights with Holland, the fights with Diaz, the fights with Costa, I think you just earned yourself a date with the latter of the three. I think that Chimaev's next fight should be against Paulo Costa.
I also wonder if
I'm hearing swirling rumors that that fight could actually be taking place in Brazil.
I'm sorry to interrupt you. Do you think that he goes to 185 because he knows that the next fight for Usman is probably going to be an Edwards rematch? I mean, Edwards' first defense will probably be against Kamaru. So he knows he's not going to get that fight next anyway. So maybe Colby maybe won't fight him, or he won't fight Colby, and he's just like, fuck it, I'll just go up now.
Well, for Colby to get, Chael made a good point. You got to sweeten the pot to get Colby in there. You got to, he's not just going to come in and fight. You got to be like, okay, this will get you a title fight, or, oh, we'll give you Masvidal, but you get your main event. You know, like, you got to to get Colby in there, you got to sweeten the pot. So I don't think that you could sweeten the pot with, hey, you want to fight Chimaev in a main event? He wouldn't even guarantee him a title fight if you beat him, you know, a third title fight. So who knows? Right.
Colby. Although with Edwards as the holding the belt, it's a more interesting matchup for Colby because he's lost to Kamaru twice. So against Edwards, I think he gets that shot before he gets a shot at Usman again.
I think Colby would absolutely bury Leon, and I hate to say it. I just think if you, I know the altitude messed with Leon, but dude, you want to talk about a guy that can put a wrestling pace on? Colby makes the guys he fights feel like they're fighting at altitude. Like, he breaks them with their pressure. You know, he will stay in your face with the wrestling. He'll suck the life out of you. I don't think it would be an easy fight, but I think that it would be one way traffic.
Since he got smacked in the street, we haven't heard nothing from him.
And you hear conflicting reports. Like, some people say, oh, you know, he's claiming he got whiplash and he's got a neck injury. And then
is he holding back? Is he holding off? Cause he's like, look, I can't even do my sport and compete because I got my thing busted. And so he's trying to really put Jorge away, or what?
Well, I don't know. I think he really stuck himself in a rock and a hard place, because I think he was playing that point up big time, and then he watched Kamaru lose and was like, oh, I'm fine. I'm good. Yeah, I'm fine. I'm still ranked number one. I'm good. I can fight. I feel great.
Okay. I was wondering if he was, I thought it might be a lawsuit thing. I'm like, well, is he suing Masvidal and he has to claim I can't fight, and all of a sudden if he fights, it might hurt a lawsuit. I mean, maybe not.
Who knows?
What do you think? Matt.
No, I was just saying he's a dirtbag. Yo, you know, he talks about people's kids. You know, Sadiq Youssef, man. He really had to put that work in. Fucking 30-second dude, head knock, arm in guillotine. It was reminiscent of Mr. Henzo versus Pat Miletich, Ricardo Almeida versus several people. That head knock in guillotine, it's way better to jump to guard with the arm in than the arm out. You could have a money guillotine, but in a fight especially, you jump the guard, a lot of times that head pops out. It doesn't pop out when you got the arm in also. That's why when you see guys, they jump. Jimmy, you understand? Like, in other words, if you have the neck, the head pops out. But when I got it under the armpit and I'm grabbing that with the arm in.
Should you grab your wrist, Matt, when you close?
Yes, I grab the wrist of the choking arm.
Okay.
Yes. So, and when I do that, I put my arm in deep as far as it goes.
Yeah.
I grab and I jump the knot of my belt to his. So when I'm doing this one, I make it as high as possible.
Yeah.
And then really what I concentrate on when it's snug, it's not like an elbow up guillotine where my wrist is going to be strangling him.
Yeah.
It will. But when I lay down with it, I make my armpit heavy where he's looking between his legs.
Okay.
And that's what cinches in. When that I make the armpit heavy and my arms, and it makes him look between his legs. That's why when guys jump the guard with it, they end up flipping over right into mount.
Because and then do you close full guard and like try to push their hips like away from them, like you're stretching them, or do you?
I don't pull them away. I pull them into me close. Okay. I pull them in close and I make my armpit heavy. Okay. And then it's beautiful.
A little unfiltered technique on a Monday.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. If I was in studio with Jimmy,
I know I would take a good strangling just to demonstrate. Like when you strangled and Matt choked Neil deGrasse Tyson, we had on because he was a heavyweight wrestler.
You know, who I strangled was Ari Safir because he was showing me the answer to the phone. And I told him that shit don't work if you wait the right.
Did it work?
I was talking about that.
No, well, it did work. Would answer the phone. The Sandman was calling him, and he was going to be visiting him.
So anyway. when you defend arm triangle, do you go the arm that's coming across? Do you go back to the mat and drop the elbow in? You
know, somebody was doing the correct. Jan, fuck.
Yeah.
She was doing the correct defense.
Yeah.
She would have been out. Mackenzie had a beautiful head and arm. Yeah. And what does Yondu, the nearest leg, where if it's, hi guys,
it's like doing a cannonball.
I'm stuck like this. The nearest leg I bring up and I grab, I was worried because she was grabbing like this.
Yeah.
And she, and Mackenzie Dern was trying to clear her leg with, clear her grip with the knees, with her knee. But when you grab here, interlock your finger around your own leg and extend.
Yeah.
I carotid arteries open. Can you see what I'm doing? So my feet, I'm grabbing around, I extend this. So now my left carotid artery is open. So that's what she was doing. And it saved her ass. It saved her. And
was that towards the end of the round or did she just get out of it? I remember that.
I think she got, I think the round ended with her in the arm triangle in round two.
I got to see it again, but I remember being like, she's fucking done. She's done. And then I'm like, fucking Uriah Faber, you crafty little guy.
Yeah.
Those alpha fucking males.
Yeah.
Team Alpha. They did the right escape. And it was, when I see shit like that, I go, oh, look at that shit. It works. You know?
Yeah.
I'm going to teach that later. Sorry, it's in my head. But yeah, man, I loved it. I loved that escape. There's another fight I want to mention, though, before we start to get... Oh, it's Mike Davies. Davis.
Oh, Mike Davis?
Mike Davis. Dude, at the end of that fight, you got to give... who is it? Borshev?
Yeah. Vyacheslav Borshev, yeah. Slava Borshev.
Hey, man. E for effort, bro.
Yeah.
He was trying, and he might have busted his orbital.
Orbital. He had great moments on the feet, you know, just the wrestling. People overlook Mike Davis's wrestling a lot, but he's just a tremendous athlete. I mean, look, he's a physical specimen.
And he pulled it out. He pulled it out when he was winning, but he got hurt in that last round and he knew, I'm going to get on top and I'm just going to ride this out. And he did. And he did. And even positionally, you know, he definitely wanted, he didn't go through all that just to be like, all right, I got a boo-boo, I'm out. You know what I mean?
He made the right decision. That was good.
Yeah, he manned up right there. I love it.
Good on him.
We didn't talk about Trevin Jones losing to
Tony Barcelos, whose dad is a seventh degree coral belt.
Wow.
Tony Barcelos' dad. Yeah, I saw his dad. I saw that in the fact sheet. And then I saw his dad walking around the hotel and I was like, oh yeah, that guy looks like he's a coral belt.
A coral belt. Now, what do you do after black to get to coral?
You just get old.
Is that what that is? How does that work?
Yeah. And every certain amount of years that you're a black belt, you get like every two and then every four after a certain amount, you get awarded a stripe. So then as you get older, you know, I'm sure this gentleman's older, you know, you just put the time in and then you get
from training. Yeah.
Whatnot, you know, but you know, it's all about the love of jiu-jitsu though, Jimmy, which you do not have.
No, I do. I'm just lazy. Like I love women I've dated, but I'm just a shit boyfriend. But it doesn't mean I didn't love them. Well, I love jujitsu. I'm just lazy.
Is lazy going to help you when you're on a subway and there's a rape situation happening to you?
I mean, that is a good point. Like I do want to take it for that reason.
Back pocket.
I'm going to tell you the same thing I tell some of my
women. I'll answer the phone.
I'm going to Jimmy, do not answer the phone. Death is calling. Oh. And you don't want to pick that up. I'll tell you the same I tell my women students. You know where they want you. They want you on the floor, these attackers, Jimmy.
Yeah.
Because you're a sweet little bird. And then they're going to try to get away with you.
Yeah.
Hopefully everyone would run to my defense.
I got your back, dog.
Thank you very much, Michael. That's all I got to do. I'll just try to travel with Mike. That I would appreciate. I'll have you come around with me. And I'll talk shit to everybody. Perfect.
You saw that thing on the subway with that dude with the red sneakers, the soccer kicking that lady. Not the subway. It must have been Penn Station or Grand Central.
Oh, mental. Where he was mumbling about Satan first. He's a lunatic.
Where was that though? Grand Central or?
I want to say Queens actually, but I could be wrong. I don't remember. I remember watching it. She ran up against the booth and he just stomped her.
This lady ran. He followed her. It was kicking her. And then you see a guy come in and go, oh, to stop it? That dude directed it to him?
Yeah.
That guy got his running shoes on, got the fuck out of Dodge. Jeez. Some hero.
Well, you know? He didn't know her.
Yeah, that's fucked up.
Jimmy,
language.
Jimmy, if you were there, what would you, Jimmy, I know you would make Jimmy. You could be a hero, Jimmy.
I would be. I would do this
one day.
Hi, I'm in the subway and I'm watching a man hit a lady who I don't know, and I'm not willing to get my ass kicked for. That's what I would do if it was Jimmy. My wife or girlfriend. You know, of course, oh! I would
enter Kevin Holland. Here comes Kevin Holland.
That's true.
Listen to me. You gotta. Yeah. That's why everybody should be trained. But anyway, hey, this Friday. Going to Comic-Con with my family. We're going to be dressed up like superheroes.
Who are you going to be?
Come on, meet us over at the Javits Center, Jimmy.
I'm not going to be in town. I'm going to be in Los Angeles.
Man. What am I dressed like? I got a rash guard, like an X-Men rash guard, but it looks like the X on it. Like, and it's like yellow. And it looks like I'm just part of the X-Men team. You know what I mean? Yeah. But I'll have that underneath like a hoodie. Or else I might have a Punisher
shirt. It's like Charles Xavier and Wolverine had a child.
Together. Like they had a kid or some shit. You know what I mean? It is. My one kid's got the Captain America. The other one's Spider-Gwen. Oh, it's going to be fun.
That'll be
Jimmy,
good.
I'm looking forward to it.
I was, like I said, I was enjoying. I don't know if you saw Michael Matt's videos on Instagram. It's cute watching your kids train with you. Like I could see that you're actually giving some resistance and she finally grabbed your arm.
Right way.
Yeah,
I deleted it already. I'm weird. I put them out there, and then I'm like, oh, I don't like have my kids out there.
Oh, you don't like showing your kids.
Then I get rid of it. That's what I do. I'm usually either high, and I'm like, I don't want everybody to see it. So I get proud. I put stuff out, and then I end up taking it off. But yeah,
that's smart.
I'm going to teach. Listen, I've been teaching a lot. Man, I never taught so many kids classes in my life because I have all my three girls training. So I love it. It's fun.
It must make you happy that they like it too.
It is. There's other kids in there. Some kids don't enjoy most. And they're just like, it's like pulling teeth. I see their parents. Thank God my kids freaking love it. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it's also a social thing for them too. I got them homeschooled where there's social times at my school and also at their dance school. So they're socially very, you know, they're intact. They're not like being homeschooled.
They actually do recitals and stuff like that. Like
The nationals and all that stuff. Yeah. I actually changed we changed the schedule around to make sure they get at least four structured classes at my school with the jujitsu and kickboxing too. But we changed it up because they were doing a little too much dance compared to the jujitsu.
Right.
This year, so it's so great. You know what I mean? And like I told you, my wife just had her third kickboxing fight. She might be good now, but she won. She's a 3-0.
Oh, nice.
My wife's got Mikey's. No, I know Michael's a good guy. My wife's got a good. She's got a good like a radar. People are good people or not? And she's like, oh, there was a UFC fight. Very nice, very smiley, and very pleasant. Not creepy at all. I go, she told me. I go, of course, because you know, Michael. Yes, he got dude. Bunch of I don't even know how many times, but a bunch of times you've been at the school, kind of. And I don't know whoever there when Elias was there, but it was very
similar. No, I never was. I wish that would have been sweet.
It's a similar relationship we have. Like you're this, you were there more than a handful of times where I feel like I really know you when I see you, you know. And that's how it was with Elias. Elias would come and they'd stay for when these guys come, they stay for a couple of weeks or more.
Yeah, I gotta hang out with Al and his family and see the boys.
So it's like
I got to go to the Lexington gym that's the first one, right? What was the first
440 out of that? Levittown. But we have the Huntington School now,
Levittown, that's where it was.
When I had the two schools, I felt like a parent always favoring a kid. I tell Jimmy all the time, the pandemic took that school and it took it for a reason. Much better with one school. More is not better. My whole family is there. It's my danger room. We have so much fun.
That's good.
But, hey, before we get out of here, Michael Chiesa, what do you want to promote? I think we talked about every fucking fight, didn't we?
Yeah.
Michael, what are we promoting? Talk to me
about your podcast. Right? Anything you want to promote, Mike?
Yeah. You know, for me, just, I got a lot of stuff coming up. Obviously, UFC Roundup, me and Paul Felder. It comes out every Wednesday on YouTube. The Wednesday before the pay-per-view, the Wednesday after the pay-per-view. So definitely check that out. That's always fun.
Is it just fighting or are you guys talking
you guys are in the card and we talk
20 guys.
Like we have this round section, five rounds. We always talk sandwiches at the end. So we got this like funny thing with sandwiches. We're always,
you had me at sandwiches.
Yeah. See, we always have good conversations about sandwiches, and I'm trying to work out a deal with XM to get in there with RJ Clifford and get some stuff going. And ooh, obviously I don't have children, Matt. This is my child. MMA is my child. And I train, I eat, sleep, breathe, live, work, mixed martial arts. So I'm just trying to, I'm trying to get on XM. Obviously commentaries in the future. For now it's Roundup. It's talking to you guys and just taking advantage of every opportunity I can get.
Is the wifey letting you know that the clock's ticking? How old is the wifey? No,
she's a couple years younger than me.
Okay, and you're
34.
34.
Oh yeah, okay. You got some time.
Yeah, I got strong swimmers, I think.
Me too, but I've wasted them all on the floor.
You know what's also great about the TRT is you shoot blanks.
Oh, you know? Really?
Well,
shit, man, I haven't pulled out in years, son. Listen to me.
Great talking to you, Michael. And on that note,
guys, what do you want to plug, Jimmy?
Just Wednesday night, I'm doing my hour at the Fat Black Pussycat. Every Wednesday in October, I'll be doing my hour at 7 p.m. So come down if you're near the Comedy Store.
And also, catch me on LFA. We got LFA coming up on the 14th in Sioux Falls. Great card. We have a big announcement. Really, really big announcement. It's going to be a game changer for ways you can view. LFA fights. That's the clue. So it'll be on the 14th on Fight Pass. I'll be calling the fight.
Awesome. Yeah. Good talking to you, man. Yeah. Really good having you as always.
Good talking to you guys. Paizan, be well.
Woo!
Jimmy, always a pleasure, boys.
Michael, talk to you soon.
Nice to see you, man. Later, Michael Chiesa.
See you, buddy.
Peace out, boys.
Thank you.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.